Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Nine News just interviewed the founder of the Collaborators Project, Will Duffy. We'll talk about that. Tune in to Nine News if you're in the Colorado part of the country this evening at 5 o'clock and perhaps again at 10. Also, two plane crashes over the weekend, one especially tragic for us here at Bob Enyart Live. I'll tell you about an Obama's plane made an emergency landing in St. Louis after the pilot reported mechanical problems. So then also, I am just back. In fact, an entire team with American Right to Life is back from Washington, D.C., where we hosted a hospitality suite at the National Right to Life Annual Convention on the top floor of the Hyatt. And what a great time was had by all. Wonderful time. So I'll tell you about that. And then finally, I'm just out of the dentist. So if you think that I'm talking a bit weird, you're right. I am talking a bit weird. So I'll do my best to get through this. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So Nine News just sent a TV crew to interview the Collaborators Project, their founder, Will Duffy, and we expect a report to air tonight at 5 o'clock. And the mission of the Collaborators Project is this: no child killing with tranquility. No child killing with tranquility. The reporter asked Will Duffy, "You're young. Why are you in this abortion fight?" And he said, "Because I saw a video of an abortion." And she was shocked to hear about it. She said, "Wow, I never saw such a video." And he said, "Yeah, it was a 8 to 10 week baby, and you could see his face, his eyes, his mouth. The baby's all there, and I saw they were killing a little baby. An abortion is wrong because it's a baby. It's always wrong to intentionally kill a baby." So, and the goal that, and this is spreading, Planned Parenthood built the largest abortion clinic here in Colorado, and that actually launched the Collaborators Project, which is committed to protest at the homes of collaborators, in this case, the Weitz Company, the billion-dollar company that built this Auschwitz, it is called, Planned Parenthood's mega abortion clinic in Denver is called Auschwitz.com. And they're committed to protest at the homes of the executives for as many years as Planned Parenthood is killing babies at the facility built for that purpose by Weitz. And Gary Megison, senior vice president of Weitz, had a protest at his home on July 4th. And he came out. There were two big truth trucks with massive posters and a dozen protesters, and he was stunned. He was stunned. He said, "What are you guys doing? We finished the job 2 weeks ago." And one of the protesters said, "Gary, we sent you letters. We told you we would protest your home for as many years as Planned Parenthood is killing kids at the facility built by Weitz." One of the other protesters said, "Welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. You're going to help people kill unborn children? And you think you're going to live your life in tranquility? No, not as long as some Christians who know right from wrong have breath in their mouth and are able to go out on the street. Welcome to the first day of the rest of your life." Okay, so we'll see how that report goes on Nine News tonight. Is that an NBC affiliate? Nine News. So that should be good. Then Obama's airplane made an emergency landing in St. Louis, and the pilot said there are mechanical problems, and the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, has launched an investigation. Well, they also launched an investigation into a plane crash, a fatal crash in Mexico. In fact, there were two over the weekend. One killed nine people, and in the other, the pilot alone was killed on a USA Jet Airlines flight. And the second flight is the one that has us saddened because we were close with the pilot. Now, sometimes folks talk about a tragedy, and this is a tragedy for us, but as with all the news that we report on Bob Enyart Live, we do like was done in the Bible. Jesus would take the news of the day, like a tower falls, the Tower of Siloam fell, and Jesus turned it into a parable to teach people about that news, right? And the same thing with Pilate killing worshipers who came down from Galilee. Jesus turned it into a parable to teach. And he said, when the tower in Siloam fell and killed all those people, he said, don't think that they were the worst sinners and this happened to them because they were being punished because they were the worst sinners. That's superstition. Don't think like that. That's how the pagans think. And he said the same thing about the worshipers from Galilee. So we try to, as Christians, if we're weak in the faith and if we're superstitious, we try to interpret things like reading tea leaves and chicken entrails. You know, that's what they do in Santeria. That's what pagans do. We're supposed to be Christians. We don't interpret events and then act as though we're speaking authoritatively for God. Oh, this happened because God was punishing them. Jesus said, I tell you no. But just get your own life right with God. Stop being superstitious. So talking about this second flight, I want to do the same and use it as a parable because we care a lot more about that second flight in which one person died, the other crash in which nine people were killed. And somebody might say, well, why would that be? I mean, shouldn't you care more about the other where nine people died? And, you know, it's normal to have a lot of sympathy for one incident that occurs with someone we know and pay almost no attention to another tragedy that has 10 times the suffering and death. But some will use that, they'll observe that, and they'll try to use it to promote guilt and say, look, this is just apathy, and you should care much about X as Y. But that's not necessarily due to apathy, but often it's due to reality and the way God made us. You know, there are 6 billion people in the world, and we cannot experience an emotional drain every time there is suffering and death. If so, we'd be incapacitated, and we could do nothing but grieve. That would be it. Of course, we grieve most when we have a relationship with the one who has suffered. When something like the Holocaust occurs, before we got on the plane to leave Washington, D.C., some of us went to the Holocaust Memorial, the National Holocaust Memorial, which is an extraordinary place, and I recommend that you go if you can in your lifetime. We've also gone to the one in Jerusalem, which is also truly extraordinary. And when you go, you actually get to know some of the people who were treated so cruelly by the Germans, and it does help you identify and personalize this grave tragedy. And so you can better learn the lessons from history that we should learn from it. But when you know somebody involved in a tragedy, then of course you grieve far more than when it's strangers. And even if it's a celebrity and you only know the person because they're in the news or they're on TV, and you know how the public has a seemingly unbalanced attention, almost an obsession with celebrities who were, let's say, robbed or arrested for a crime or whatever. And it's easy to make fun of that, but at a basic level, a celebrity, somebody you've read about, somebody you know at some level, is of far more interest than someone you never heard of. So if the people who wrote the books in the Bible, if they were alive today and they were in a news story, we'd be really interested in what happened to them. And the same is true with any celebrity of our day. So it's worthwhile to think through these issues to have a better understanding of human suffering and death, and our involvement, and a healthy involvement as a Christian. Now, this second accident was the pilot who was killed was my brother-in-law. And his name is Lonnie, his first name I'll give. And my wife, Cheryl's brother. And we love him, his wife, and their kids dearly, although they live in another state. And so we don't see them often other than weddings and funerals. But Lonnie has come out and stayed with us when he was doing training at DIA. a simulator for pilots to learn how to fly a, you know, a new kind of plane. That was 10 years ago. So he stayed with us for a few weeks. And Cheryl, growing up, was very close in age with Lonnie. And so they grew up as best friends. And this is a great tragedy. About a decade ago, Lonnie and his wife asked us if they could put in their will, if something was to happen to them, both of them, if we would consider raising their kids. And of course, what an honor and a grave responsibility. Of course, we said yes. But Lonnie's wife is now grieving, of course, and their three children. But we want to report that Lonnie is a strong Christian, so he's with the Lord. He's with the Lord. There was some early confusion because when we first got news of the plane crash, and of course we immediately, the whole family immediately Googled Mexico and plane crash, and there was a crash in Mexico City. And we had thought that that was the crash, but that was not the crash. So this was a USA Jet Flight 199, a DC-915, crashed at 2:15 a.m. On July 6th, as the plane, the cargo plane, approached an airport in Saltillo, Mexico, carrying a load of cargo. And while attempting to land, the cargo plane, I'm reading from a report online, the cargo plane experienced engine trouble. They got the black box, and the black box indicated there was engine trouble, and crashed, splitting into four pieces and scattering debris across an area of 600 meters in diameter. The flight originated in Hamilton, Ontario, stopped in Shreveport, Louisiana, for refueling en route to Saltillo, Mexico. The crash killed the pilot and injured the co-pilot, who has severe burns and hopefully will recover. So my wife, Cheryl, will be flying back. It looks like she's only going to go back with a couple of our kids, and then I'll stay here with the other kids and holding down the fort. But perhaps I'll go also. So please pray for Lonnie's family. He is with the Lord, but pray for Cheryl and our church, Denver Bible Church. It's a time of grieving, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope, but we grieve for the loss, but knowing that Lonnie is in heaven with the Lord. So we thank God for God's faithfulness in saving those who call out to him and trust in Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Okay, now I do want to give a report that, oh, and we just got a donation. Now look at this. This is Bob Benyert Live, right? Somebody called up and said, I want to give $100 for Bob Benyert Live, and I'd also like to give $100 for American Right to Life. Can you take that donation? Sure, we could take that. We'll be happy to pass that on to them. Their number is 1-888-888-ARTL. 1-888-888-ARTL. Our number is 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-8-ENYART. Okay. So if you search online, you should be able to find the report of our first day of our hospitality suite at National Right to Life. And I'd like to share some of that with you. The title of the report online, it's at Pro Life Blogs. Less for Life posted this, and it's been picked up and posted elsewhere around the internet by other pro-life groups. But the headline of the report is National Right to Life Tries to Pull the Plug. National Right to Life Tries to Pull the Plug, out of Arlington, Virginia, July 4th. The fire, and I apologize for those who didn't hear this announcement at the beginning. I got out of the dentist, came back, spent, what, 4 or 5 days in Manhattan, then came back for a press conference, then headed right out to Washington, D.C., and then back late last night, and today I had to go to the dentist, some dental work, and I'm having a hard time pronouncing words, so please bear with me, or change the channel, one or the other. But I'll do my best to struggle through this. But the headline of this is National Right to Life Tries to Pull the Plug. Out of Arlington, Virginia, July 4th, the fireworks in Washington, D.C. have not been relegated to the National Mall. American Right to Life is hosting another hospitality suite in a series of connected rooms at National Right to Life's annual convention on the top of the Crystal City Hyatt. Scores of National Right to Life conventioners are streaming into the American Right to Life suites to enjoy good food and drink and to consider the moral argument for the personhood strategy toward ending legalized child killing. A National Right to Life conventioner from Virginia told our hospitality team that Nellie Gray, you know, you recognize that name, Nellie Gray? She's the main organizer of the March for Life every year in Washington, D.C. A National Right to Life conventioner from Virginia told our hospitality team that Nellie Gray argues that any pro-life law that ends with "and then you could kill the baby" is a bad law. And you know what we told that person? Praise the Lord for Nellie and the spread of truth throughout the pro-life community. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So we didn't tell the person that, hey, Nellie's right, but that teaching came from American Right to Life. We didn't do that. We wanted to encourage that person for their ability to recognize the obvious truth that any law that ends with "and then you could kill the baby" is a bad law. Laws are authority. Regulations are authority. And we don't, pro-lifers, don't have the authority to negotiate with someone's right to life. We don't have that authority. So we can't say that if you sign this piece of paper, then you could kill the baby, informed consent. We don't have that authority, and those are bad laws. You can't accomplish good by doing evil. Don't do evil, that good might come of it, and it will backfire. So, hey, look at this. We just got a donation of 50 sheets. You know, we have a Sheets of Shame project. We're collecting 700 sheets, and we just got 50 sheets. Doug from Centennial donated 50 sheets. Praise God. Thank you, Doug. And this is to help welcome the DNC in August. So if you can, please, please, please send us sheets. We're asking people to send 7 sheets. And look at this. Doug is sending 50 sheets. Praise God. And the sooner we get them, the better. You could go to kgov.com and find out what kind of sheets, basically white, any size, queen, flat is best, and light colored, and you could get them to American Right to Life. Okay. So, the Hyatt told American Right to Life that we could place a poster. Now, I'm reading from their report of their hospitality suite. The Hyatt Hotel told American Right to Life that we could place a poster advertisement for our hospitality suite on a tripod, one of the hotel tripods in their lobby, inviting folks to our Regency suite up on the top floor to celebrate the personhood amendment on Colorado's November ballot. So that's all it said. Beautiful sign, professionally printed. You're invited to the hospitality suite on the top floor to celebrate the personhood amendment on Colorado's November ballot. And 4 things happened immediately after Hyatt personnel placed our poster in their lobby. Okay, they placed our poster in their lobby, and 4 things happened immediately. First, pro-lifers came to our suite right off the bat. People came right up. Hey, we heard about your suite down in the lobby. Second, National Right to Life officials insisted that the Hyatt remove our poster because they were having their convention at that hotel, and we had rented these 3 huge interconnected suites on the top floor for our hospitality suite. Well, they were really upset because it's competition. You know, this is America. Competition is allowed and free speech and all. But anyway, so that was the second thing that happened. Third, the Hyatt removed our poster. And fourth, we held our first meeting with Hyatt officials. So 4 things happened immediately. And our American Right to Life hospitality suite was on the same floor as John McCain's. He had a hospitality suite there. Although what was fun to see, ours was twice as large as John McCain's and far nicer. with flowers, red, white, and blue decorations, much better food and drink, shrimp cocktails, literature, DVDs, a darkened room for a theater, a media center, better seating. In fact, the woman running John McCain's booth during the whole convention, she came up to our suite and she said, "Oh, this suite is so much better than ours. You have great food." And another lady standing next to her said, "Yeah, look at all the drinks they have, all the choices. This is wonderful." And then they'd come up, they'd relax, eat, drink, enjoy themselves, and then we'd talk. And the woman who was there running John McCain's booth, she had a shirt, like a political shirt on, with a jacket over it. And she said, when she looked around to make sure not too many people were looking, and she said, "Well, let me show you who I really support." And she opened up her jacket, and she said, "This guy is truly pro-life." So it's so funny. It's like, praise the Lord. Hey, Jill Stanek, who's one of the leading pro-life journalists on the Internet, famous pro-lifer, one of the top 30 most famous pro-lifers in the last quarter century, has blogged on our event at her website, jillstanek.com, Jill, STANEK.com. And she obviously got this report at prolifeblogs.com and then has reported on it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jill Stanek. Okay, so our hospitality suite was much better than John McCain's, and his was also on the top floor, just down the hall from ours. So we had a better hospitality suite. However, after National Right to Life's complaint, the Hyatt officials maintained that even though American Right to Life is renting a significant section of the top floor of their hotel, and even though the Hyatt had posted our notice in their lobby as they had said they would, and even though they admitted that, quote, "Yes, we misrepresented that you could post your notice in our lobby," and that's a quote, we recorded the meeting with them, and they specifically admitted that they misrepresented this, still, they would not restore our notice to its tripod. They wouldn't do it. Okay, that's right. Well, attorney James Odom, representing American Right to Life, told the hotel's general manager, Jean-Marc, that since the Hyatt would not post our small poster board notice in the lobby, as had been promised, we would hold signs in front of the hotel with an enlarged version of the poster, which we had made up almost instantly. I mean, Fred Thompson was speaking to the group. While he's speaking, our sign comes down. We're told we can't have it there. Practically by the time he's done, we had major 6-foot by 8-foot signs out the front of the hotel. That was pretty funny. So our attorney told the hotel that we would be out there instead of our little, you know, 4 6-square-foot signs, 2x3 signs, we'd be out front with a blown up to a huge 48 square feet signs. So the hotel, I don't know why exactly, they called in the local police. I mean, why do these things happen to us? And they told American Right to Life officials that if we stood on the sidewalk in front of the hotel, we'd be arrested. They said we'd have to either go down the street on the sides of the hotel or across the street. So businesses and police officers often claim that protests in front of a business are illegal, and falsely claiming that public sidewalks are really private property, which they rarely are. So, you know, we had some veteran street activists with us, and we looked at the scene, surveyed it, and decided not to challenge the hotel's claim because when we went across the street and held our signs, we didn't even have to hold them. We could lay them on the sidewalks, which we did. They were readable by the entire hotel. The entire hotel up to the top floor, from the 3 floors of the lobby up to the top floor, is glass. And the outside elevators are glass. And 3 elevators going up and down all day long, glass. You could read our signs from virtually every floor. And the signs welcome pro-lifers for food and drink, to the top floor, Regency Suite, and sponsored by American Right to Life, and people came up by the droves. They came up by the droves. So that's exactly what we did. American Right to Life's massive protest signs were visible and readable to the entire hotel. And we had a team of 10 people hosting our hospitality suite. And within a couple hours, it was evident to all that not only the National Right to Life conventioners, but at least a couple thousand people were aware that our American Right to Life hospitality suite was on the top floor, and they started streaming in, and we had a great time. Pro-life leaders, NEA teachers, activists, pro-life attorneys, convention exhibitors, NEA teachers, pro-life teenagers, NEA teachers. Did I say NEA teachers? Yeah, National Education Association teachers. They were having a convention in D.C., and hundreds of their delegates were staying in our same hotel. And we had lengthy talks with dozens of important people in the pro-life movement in this battle against abortion, from leaders in the anti-euthanasia movement to reporters to activists from other countries, Canada, Spain, the Caribbean. One pro-life attorney from New Jersey, Howard, heard American Right to Life argue the case against regulating abortion. And then when the call went out that we needed a second string to replace those manning the signs outside the hotel, he's an attorney, pro-life attorney. He said, "I'll go." He stood out there in a 90-minute shift, an attorney holding our signs, telling people, "Go on up to the top floor, free food and drink. Come on up, come visit American Right to Life in their hospitality suite." An attorney we had never met till that day. That's the way the whole event went. I got to have a phenomenal conversation with a staff attorney at one of the largest pro-life legal foundations in the country. And I don't want to give his name nor the name of the group, but 40 minutes of a powerful discussion about right and wrong. Powerful. Really great. So there's a lot more to tell you. And you know what, Lord willing, I will tell you more tomorrow about how the hospitality event went, because there's a lot of praise opportunities in the 3 days we spent at the convention in Washington, D.C. A lot. And so I'll share that with you, Lord willing, tomorrow. And, of course, the whole story will be on kgov.com, kgov.com. And if you're interested in what we're doing here at Bob and Yurt Live, please help out at kgov.com. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada is such a great Christian school. Check out Maranatha.